This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm.
Youth Baseball Talk. Only on lineupmedia.fm. Now your host, Jim Cromer.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to this week's edition of Youth Baseball Talk. I'm your host, Jim Cromer. And, of course, Youth Baseball Talk is brought to you each and every week by The Rope Trainer. Great device from Earl Perrin and the group over at The Perfect Pitch and Throw. As John Smoltz says, everybody should have one from big leaguers to little leaguers. It's a great product, and I really appreciate them being a part of the show. It's a fabulous thing that, like I've always said, John Smoltz thinks enough of it to both endorse it, be a part of it, and think enough of it to include it in his Hall of Fame speech. I'm going to stand up and listen and see what he's got to say. Fortunately, I've met the man. I've listened to him. I know what's going on there, and it's a product that I think very highly of, and I think can help save a lot of arms out there. Make sure you check them out, theropetrainer.com. Really excited about the show this week. I decided to do something just a little bit different. I did a show last week where I had in three guys that I think a lot of. They're friends. They're from different, completely different scenarios. But guys that have kids that play sports, some of them other sports, some of them baseball, not baseball anymore, regardless of the situation, I thought it was interesting based on conversations that I had with them in the past to get their thoughts on, you know, where they're at currently versus where they thought they were in their son's quote-unquote baseball career, whether it be a couple years ago, multiple years ago, whatever it was. I've always found the conversations to be interesting. I find myself more and more every day when I have conversations with people, basically almost trying to learn from them where they are, where they've been, where they want to go, and maybe mistakes they've made, positive things that they've done to both enhance their relationship with their son and also at the same time provide their son or daughter, whatever the case may be, with whatever tool it is or with whatever support they need to achieve whatever it is they're trying to achieve. So if a kid says, I want to be the best baseball player I can be, then support him. And in what ways did you do that that were both beneficial to you, the family unit, your relationship? It's that relationship that I want to talk a little bit about today. Kind of going off script, I do not have a guest for you today because it's something that I think a lot about and that I think is very important. And I get more and more emails every day on the variety of things that involve the relationship between father, son, mom, son, a daughter, whatever it is. This is ultimately the thing that we are most concerned about, like not necessarily fixing, because the hope is always that there's nothing there that really needs to be fixed. But what is it that's going on that's causing issue, and what is it that we can do as parents, coaches, if we happen to be the son or the daughter, what is it we can do to both communicate, help, but yet not overstep our boundaries, regardless of what, you know, what side of the fence we fall on, whether we be player, coach, or parent. It's really hard, as you can tell from the conversation last week, to have a guy that's a coach and a dad, because he's also a husband. He's a father, probably to other, you know, he may have other children involved. It's such a wide variety of things that go on and go into each and every scenario that it's hard to put it in a box. So I think when we have conversations and people want to use certain things that have happened and they want to stereotype or they want to lump everything into one, this is how it is or this is how it's supposed to be, I don't know if it's that easy. Judging by the conversations that I had last week, and again, I've had those conversations with those guys at various times over the course of the last few years, not just recently. So I kind of knew where some of that was going to go, and I thought it was important for people to hear it. Now, the thing was, I kind of sprung that on these guys. Like, we all went to lunch afterwards, and I got the, hey, Roy Firestone, thanks for making me cry. That wasn't my intention, but the reality of it is it got there, right? So for those of you, especially those of you that are just starting, you know, go back and listen to that episode and listen to some of the things that the guys had to say. I saw it with my own eyes. Like when I was looking at these guys and we were talking, I saw the eyes get wet. And what I saw were memories of things that may or may not have happened that they either regret, that they wish they'd have handled differently, that they maybe didn't take the opportunity to take it where it should have went, whatever it is. The bottom line is that, you know, three grown men, and including myself, because let's face it, I've been very honest on here and said that there is no way that I will ever say I got it figured out or I did this or I did that and it's right or wrong. We've all done it, and I think we're all trying to figure out the best way to fix the problems that we have with ourselves, right? So seeing that and knowing that there's memories in there that I'm not going to say will haunt them. Let's hope it's not at that extent, right? Especially for anybody. I don't care who you are. Let's hope there's never been that moment that will cause regret forever and something you can't get past. The reality of it is some of the things that I know that I did wrong and that I talk about how on the show numerous times, I talk about how when I first got involved in this, that I was that dad, right? That dad, that coach. And I want to say I'm embarrassed by it. It's not so much embarrassed by it. It's that I really believe, how did I ever think that that was, I'm not even going to say right. How did I ever think that that was the way to go about doing it? Well, I don't know. I mean, obviously things went on in my life, whether it was I was too competitive or maybe I just blindly saw things on TV. Maybe I checked out things without doing my research and I thought this is the rule. Whatever it is, something made me feel that way, right? So it takes an aha moment sometimes for people to see it. I remember my aha moment, right? I had more than one, okay? So let me preface all this by saying that. But what was it? You know, of course, it was a very heartfelt conversation with my son and him telling me what he wanted. It was seeing, for some reason, at a baseball game, sitting on my bucket, having some sort of clarity at the moment that allowed me to see other people in the way they acted and realizing I didn't ever want to look like that. I didn't ever want to come across like that. Okay? Knowing at that moment, for some reason, that I know I've looked like that. I know I've done that. There is no way, no matter what I believe in my heart, no matter where I'm at in this process, there is no way that's right. Okay, so those were the things for me. They happen for everybody and they happen at different times. The purpose of last week's show and where I'm going with this week is let's not wait until that aha moment, right? Let's not need something, whether how light or small, how big or tall, let's not need that big aha moment to fix these things, right? Ultimately, ask yourself, what's your goal? The thing I appreciated about Mike Matheny and what he always said was, if at any time in any discussion about what you're doing with your kid, if you're having this discussion and you start using the word I, meaning talking about what you want for your son, okay, what you want him to do, and what you, when that takes like the onus away from them and puts it on you and what you want, we have a problem. Okay. I think it's okay to say, this is what I want for my son. I want him to have opportunity. I want him to be around good things. I think those things are completely legit. But saying things like, I want him playing, I want him to be the best, I want, well, you better make sure that's what they want, right? That's rule number one. And I say on here all the time that it's a family decision. Don't ever forget the family component in this whole thing. I firmly believe that something that's overlooked, something that's never taken into consideration, is the family component in the whole thing. People tend to get completely geeked up about something because they start thinking about all the great things, right? This is going to be great. He's going to be this, and he's going to be that. Let me tell you something. Best piece of advice I can give you. Hit the brakes. Back it up for a minute. And start thinking about all the things that are going to happen that aren't going to go so well. Because I assure you they're going to happen. Okay? And again, define not go so well. I'm not just talking about little Johnny not hitting well, not being able to pitch well, not fielding well, not living up to your expectations or anybody else's. I'm not even talking about that. I'm talking about all the things that come along. I'm talking about family dinner, missing family dinners. If you're a spiritual person, missing church on Sunday, if that's important to you. If you're a social person, not spending as much time taking care of what you want to do and always revolving everything around baseball. Again, I'm not saying that's wrong. What I'm saying is that has to be a decision that's made as a family. And here's another thing. Don't sugarcoat it. Don't sit there and rob Peter to pay Paul and say, oh, it'll be fine. We'll do this and we'll do that. Don't do that, because that is not how it is. It is a commitment. It is a work commitment. It is a effort commitment. It is a spiritual commitment to some degree. Okay, it is something where you are deciding that we're gonna. It's a neglect. That's a word that people don't like to use, right? But you will basically, for whatever time you decide to make this one of the most important things, because it is, you're going to neglect something else. What is it you're going to neglect? I don't know what it is. It might be family time. It might be time with friends. It might be time at your church. It might be schoolwork. It might be something. Something's going to get neglected if you jump into this thing feet first, carefree, and completely with reckless abandon. Okay, it is, the word neglect is in there. Okay, now, some of you out there are listening to this going, Jim, I got it. I mean, we have, you know, let me tell you something. We, you know, straight A's, and we work on our homework, and we do this as a family, and that is great, and I am so happy for you, okay? I've seen them. I've been with people that their situations, some situations are better than others. Obviously, if you have one son, a little bit easier, right? If you have four kids, you're outnumbered. You know, if you have four kids, they're probably playing multiple sports. Now you need grandma and grandpa, or you need friends that you trust. And that's what I'm saying. All you got to do is alter this scenario one tick this way, one tick that way. And now all of a sudden, we got to figure all this out, right? Things are going to happen. You know, practices are going to get moved. We're going to, you know, you're not going to agree. Oh my God, why are we driving all the way there for indoor practice in the winter? Oh, why are we playing our league games over here? Oh my God, I don't like this and I don't like that. And so-and-so, I don't like the look they gave me. Or that coach didn't help me. There's all kinds of things that you have to think about before you do it. So when you do it, how do you do it? I mean, that was kind of the thing too, right? So as a coach, as a parent, what is it you want out of the thing, right? So I think honesty and I think openness is always great, right? Of course it is. So if you find yourself in a situation where a team, whether it be talent-wise, whether it be commitment level, whether it be end result is the big thing, whatever it is, if it doesn't mirror up with what you want, okay, then you better make sure that you're open, honest, and do what's right for you. I find too many times that I have conversations with people or things that I've experienced myself is that you find situations where certain people want to wear a certain jersey. That's always something. I get a lot of emails about that, and I've seen it with my own eyes, so I know it exists, right? I tell people all the time, don't worry so much about what team you play on. Worry about the situation, and most of all, the thing I think that might be most important and gets lost is like, pay the most attention to who the coach is. Okay, that's not a disrespectful thing, talking about some of the coaches that maybe shouldn't be doing it. And I don't mean shouldn't be doing it like they're awful, shouldn't be doing it like they don't want to. Shouldn't be doing it is that the reality of it is some guys literally are just trying to help, but they don't know what to do. They haven't researched, they haven't done things. I say it all the time. Back in the day when we played 15 games, a volunteer coach that basically was there, okay, to throw some balls, to hit some balls, to do a few things, to allow a kid to just athletically do what he could do, maybe offer a few bits of insight and coach you a little bit, teach you the game. Okay, no problem. But what we have now in this day and age is we have kids that start January 1, some of them earlier than that. And they go indoors twice a week, and they're hitting, and they're fielding, and they're starting to throw. They're jumping up on a mound in January and getting ready for games in April. 4 months out, these guys are getting on a mound in April to get ready. Well, the big leaguers don't get on a mound in January. I can tell you that. You can ask any one of them, okay? They get on a mound 6 weeks before their first real efforted throw, okay, and start getting ready. Okay, they circle first game, they circle that, and then 6 weeks out, And I'm going to say not all, because once again, I just said earlier, this isn't universal. There's always exceptions to the rule. But the majority of guys, okay, don't get on a mound until 6 weeks out from competition. Okay. Now, that doesn't mean they're not playing catch. They're building arm strength. They're doing things. They're working on their body. They're doing things. But they are not getting up on a mound and making stressful throws in December or January. They're just not doing it. Okay. The majority, for sure. Now, if those things don't mirror up with what you want or what you like or what you've researched and believe to be true, well, then go out and find it. It's not that hard to find. Situations sometimes dictate that things will not always work out for you, and that's okay too. You may not wind up on the team you want. See, that's the thing, see, the team that I want. So sometimes that does stink, right? I would say that it stinks more from this thing. This is what I get. Jim, my kid tried out for this team, and man, he's really good. It's a political situation. You know, they're the best team around, but they took two kids, whatever it may be. I'm not even going to get into some of the excuses I hear, but that's what I hear, right? Okay. I very rarely get the email, and I would cherish this one. Jim, what do I do? I mean, we had a great situation. Guy's perfect coach, works really hard. He's got a great mindset, good families. You know, they changed some things, and we just, you know, our kid just kind of got left out. I mean, what do you suggest? I don't get that one. What I get mainly is, yeah, my kid got the shaft here. He's awfully good. And, you know, so-and-so's brother's kid tried out, or, you know, he's an executive at this place, and he sponsored the team, so they kept him, and which tends to make me believe it's more about, you know, the name on the jersey and all that kind of stuff, and they want to, you know, this team's really good and they win a bunch of games and all that kind of stuff. For me, I want the other email, you know, because that's a hard thing to address, right? Like, how do you address that? Because the reality of it is, if you're telling me that this was a great situation and a great guy that you really wanted to play for and it didn't work out, you know, okay, don't, you know, my advice would be, okay, but don't change your course here. You're on the right path here. You're looking for a good coach. They are out there. I can't tell you the number of good coaches that I know at the youth level, guys that I think a lot of, okay? Guys that I really think, you know, I was very, very blessed, okay? I had great guys to learn from. I feel like I think you have to be honest, right? I think I did a good job. Not great. I don't think anybody, you know, great, define great. I think I did a really good job, though. I mean, I think I tried to do it right. I think, you know, I had things in perspective, especially the last few years, like once I kind of had my moments, right? And I was always really trying. So I feel like I did a really good job. But I know this, and you know, and it's nice. You know, you get a lot of people say, hey, you know, you got a really nice team. I like how you do this. You always have, and this is the evidence for it, right, to me in my mind. Like, you know, we competed. We did well. Great kids. Worked hard. Buy-in, even at a young age. Kids kept coming back. Always kids and parents calling us all the time. If you ever have an opening, we'd love to play for you, blah, 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 right? So that makes you feel like you did a good job. I can't tell you the number of coaches that I've either coached against, watched coach, that are coaching at lower levels. Now, quote unquote, lower levels, right? I mean, you've got your A, double A, triple A major, whatever. Okay. I'm going to tell you, I've seen a bunch of coaches at the level below what we played that were great. I mean, great. I used to watch them. I used to watch the way they interacted with their kids. Used to watch the way they worked with them before games. It's kind of like a scout in baseball. Everybody thinks, you know, most people watch a baseball game and they're like, that guy had three hits, or that guy threw 95 or whatever. He's a stud, or he's a this. No, well, maybe. Yeah, right, maybe. But the guys that really that really watch the game and can tell you more about it than you'd ever know, they watch a lot of things different than what the average fan watches. Like a scout typically shows up early and watches teams warm up, watch batting practice, watch bullpens. They can learn a whole lot more. Now, if it's somebody they're really interested in, a lot of times they'll stay and watch the compete level, right? You know, how's he doing games? How's he handle adversity? A lot of guys want to see guys fail, okay? So when people are really watching and that's the kind of stuff they're looking for, they're looking at something different than the average guy. Well, I just, you know, because of the situation I was in, I had the chance to watch some of these coaches in situations that would lead me to believe whether or not they did a nice job. Now, the underlying things, being there in the private settings, that obviously I wouldn't see that. But on the surface, I saw a lot of guys with teams that, boy, you would watch, look at the team and go, they're awful. You know, that's a terrible word to use in youth sports, but that's what people would say. They're awful. I mean, they can't feel. But it wasn't because the coach wasn't working with them. He just may not have had the talent, okay? He may have been in it for completely other reasons, but the reality of it is he handled the kids great. He showed them correct way to do things. He was willing to let them be athletes. He was willing to let them fail and learn from their failure. All the things that should be important that we kind of bump to the side and say, okay, yeah, that's really important. Like, there's a lot of people that are like, oh, I get it. I get it, Jim. Failure is important. How you handle failure, building them back up, you know, not treating them like babies. You know, we don't need to pat them on the butt every time. You know, let's toughen them up just enough, right? Let's help them. You know, good instruction. Okay, that's part two. I mean, the guy is great with the kids. He's got a great temperament. He's got a great mindset. Boy, we're really lucky because he also knows what he's doing. He's learning. He's growing with the game. He's researching. He's doing all this. Great, great, great. Right? But sometimes we as parents want to put all that aside when we start seeing those trophies. Okay? We start making excuses. Those are my favorite too. Facebook's always my favorite. You know, the parent that feels they have to let everybody know that that their kid played a triple A team or a double A team. And it just, you know, well, we didn't win, but it was because we were playing AAA teams, and those are always my favorite. I mean, come on. Do we really have to do that? But I get it. Okay, people want to live in their own world and do their own thing, and they're looking for their own justification. They're looking for their own happiness, which is fine. But when it comes right down to it, okay, as we try to navigate these waters that we're in, okay, you got to ask yourself, what do I really want out of this? Okay, what do I really want? We all want that. I mean, is it great if your kid winds up being a quote-unquote stud? Of course. I mean, that's awesome. Good. I'm happy. I know them. Some of my friends' kids are great baseball players, great kids. Probably have futures at the next level, whatever that is, okay? You know, college, I guess, for some of them, and high school for my other age group, right? That's the next level to me, not the pros. That's great. I mean, for all I know, one or two of the kids that I know from the area may get a chance. Good for them. I'm very happy for them. Okay? If we don't have anybody that does it mean we failed? No. I went to a fundraiser the other night, and that's kind of where this episode is coming from. It was a football one, though, because, you know, I say all the time on here, this is a baseball show, but a lot of this stuff applies to multiple sports. The football coach here in town, they always have a real nice program, and this year they have a very talented group of kids. They're hoping to make a run at state, you know, blah, blah, blah. I really like the coach, and I like his demeanor, and I like how he goes about doing his stuff. And he gave a little speech. You know, every year when you have a fundraiser, especially in a high school setting, the coach stands up. He gives a little talk, thanking people, talking a little bit about the state of the program. He might take 5 minutes, right? A lot of times it's right over the head, right? This time, I the room got kind of quiet. I listened to him. He was talking a lot about the kids and where they were at and where they were wanting to go. And then he got into the fact that, and it was interesting, that he had a first-year volunteer coach that used to play for him. And I guess he was kind of, what he was getting at was he's not an old guy by any stretch, but he's old enough now where some of his former players are kind of coming back, okay? They've won out. They've done this. And the DJ... the gentleman that owned the DJ service actually had played for him 2 years ago. So he kind of mentioned both these guys in his speech. And he said, and this is what I thought was great. You know, the first thing he said was how much he enjoyed being with the kids. He hoped that the parents respected how he was with their children and what he was trying to do with them. And he basically said this: I'm not here to be their friend. They've got enough friends. I'm here to be their coach. I'm here to teach them about life. I'm here to teach them about hard work. I'm here to teach them about how to achieve something if you really want it, what it takes, how to get through failure, how to get through adversity, how to, when you think you've got nothing left, how to get there. They've got enough friends. They got more friends than they need. They don't need another friend in me. What they need is it's somebody that they can look up to, that they can respect, that hopefully instills something in them that allows them to want more for themselves. I thought it was phenomenal. You know, said a few more things, but then he said, obviously the guy's a competitor, right? Every year when you're in sports, you want to win your last game, whatever that is, in a tournament or I guess state title if it's high school or if it's a thing, your tournament, World Series. Every coach wants to win the last game, which is the last game of the World Series, right? Super Bowl, whatever it is. Meaningful game, how about that? And he said, he's a competitive guy. He wants to win. He wants to do this. He's blessed to be in this great scenario. He wants to do this. But like he said, at the end of the day, he's there to build young men. And the joy he gets when a guy turns out to be a good man, a good husband, and maybe a good father if he's lucky. Be somebody that can be counted on in the community. Be somebody that you could call if you needed in an emergency. Maybe be the guy that they call when they need somebody. Those relationships are the things that will last us a lifetime. Some of these memories and some of these things are great, but make no mistake about it. I've mentioned it on here numerous times. My children do not remember the games they won when they were younger. They remember the times. They remember the fun. They remember the interaction. They remember that stuff. Quit making this about wins. I have no problem with winning. In the moment, I love to win, okay? You better add some of the real stuff in there as well, though, okay? Winning's hard. Winning at that highest level is really hard, okay? If you're out there doing a lot of winning at lower levels and you should be playing upper levels, that's a problem. I get a lot of emails about that. Time to challenge, right? Time to challenge the kids. There's nothing wrong with not winning. Tell you what, there is something wrong with not competing. There's nothing wrong with competing and losing as long as you give it everything you have. There's only one way to find out if somebody wants to be better, and that's to compete. That is to lose. That is to let it sink, and that is to find out. That's how it works. That's how it worked for me and you and everybody else that played in the Sandlot when we were little. I say it all the time. I've challenged coaches on here because we live in a different time, right? Now, this isn't this way everywhere. Some places are fortunate enough to still be in that mode of they live in a town or whatever where it's easily accessible to get out somewhere and your kids. But man, in this day and age, it seems like nobody's letting their kids just go. I mean, with media and things like that, we know of all the craziness and all the stuff out there. People don't want their kids doing this and that. I get it. So what I've challenged, that's the reason for a lot of this, why we have to do this, right? It's just like summertime Sandlot, only we organize it. Okay, we've over-organized it, right? So I've challenged coaches, just take the kids out somewhere, drop them off, that way they're all in the same place together and leave. Now, I'm not advocating doing that with 6 and 7 year olds, but you know how old we were when we went out and did our thing. So here's what I get on that. That's a great idea, Jim. Great idea. Let the kids play. Let them learn. But there's got to be some adult supervision. And I always say, why? Well, you're going to leave a bunch of 12-year-old kids alone with baseballs and baseball bats. Like, yeah, that's what we did. I mean, I'm here. You're here. Somebody eventually is going to get hit with a ball in the face, Jim, and somebody might even get a bat, a practice swing in the head. Yeah, they might. And yes, it happened when I was young. I think I went home with a bloody nose one time from getting a baseball. Did it stink? Well, yeah. Did it hurt? Of course it did. Did I have to go to the hospital and get it? Of course I did. So what are we going to do? We're going to eliminate all this stuff because you might get hurt? You can't do that, right? Here's the other one. Well, if we don't stick around, there's going to be arguments and nothing's going to get done. And they're going to, well, again, we found, there were arguments when I was a kid. We found a way, right? We handled it, argued, guys yelling at one another over safer out. Finally, somebody gives in. They figure it out. Somebody, guess what? Here's a news flash. Somebody gets picked last. Happened all the time when I was younger. Somebody got picked last. Okay? Everybody's okay. Let's just let them be kids and let them play a little bit and find out what they want and what they think they can do. That's all I'm saying. Let's go along for the ride. There it is. There's where I'm really getting to at with this statement. Let's just go along for the ride. And I'm hoping that the conversation I had last week and what I've told you today is where it gets you to that point. Let's help them get where they want to go, but let's not force feed it. Let's not make it crazy. Let's help them. Let's assist them to. And again, where they want to go may not be where you want to go. You're going to have to learn and you're going to have to deal. It's that simple. But wherever it is they want to go, let's do it. Okay, let's support them. Let's offer them our assistance. Let's offer them our support. And then let's see what happens. You might be surprised where they wind up going versus where they start. I think those are great stories. Those are the ones I want to hear from you guys. But I do appreciate your emails, of course. Again, this is Jim Cromer with Youth Baseball Talk. I want to make sure you guys check out our website, youthbaseballtalk.com, Twitter, at Podcast Baseball. Really appreciate it. We're closing in. I'm trying to get to 10,000 followers. I want pure, honest followers. I'm not buying followers. I'm not doing it. As you guys can see from my Twitter, if you follow me, and especially if you're a baseball person, I'm going to follow you back because that's where I learn a lot about all the great new things that are happening. I see great stories. I hear things. You know, it's where I learn a lot, right? So if you're a baseball person and you follow me at Podcast Baseball, I promise you I'm going to follow you back. Of course, you can check me out at Facebook, facebook.com/youthbaseballtalk. And of course, I love your emails, info@youthbaseballtalk.com. One of my shows coming up, I'm going to read some of my past emails that I've gotten from you guys. I'm starting to accumulate some really good ones. And I know out there I get a lot of people saying, hey, I never hear you mention any exact, I'm going to do that. So some people have asked me about that. You know, it's the off season, so it'll be good to do that. I want to encourage you guys to subscribe to the show. It is free. It's very simple to do. You can go to iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Podbean, any major podcast outlet, and all you got to do is click the subscribe button. Then you can leave me a rating and a review, which I'd really appreciate. The easiest way is just go to my website, youthbaseballtalk.com. If you're on a mobile, you'll just scroll all the way down to the bottom, and whatever kind of device you have, just click the button. It'll say iTunes or Stitcher. You know, if you got an iPhone, just click iTunes. If you have a Samsung, just click Stitcher. And it'll get you right to where you need to go to subscribe. It is free. If you're on your PC, it'll be right there on the front page. You just click on whatever your mobile provider is. Boom, you're set. But I encourage you to do that. I want to, again, thank the guys at The Rope Trainer, theropetrainer.com. As John Smoltz says, everyone should have one, from big leaguers to little leaguers. They're great supporters of the show. Earl Perrin and Chris Verna and John Smoltz, three great guys that are definitely trying to assist with the arm epidemic in our country. I want to throw a quick shout out to Jeff Passan at Yahoo Sports. He wrote an amazing book called The Arm that I've been waiting on. I finally received it today. My goal is to do my best to read it as fast as I can. I'm not a great reader. I struggle with dedicating enough time to get something read, but I'm anxious to read it because we talk a lot about the epidemic and where it goes. I'm sure Jeff did amazing work. He had access to some unbelievable stuff. So my hope is to get him on a show and to talk about it. What we're going to do right now, though, is take a quick break. And when we get back, of course, we're going to hear from Domingo Ayala and his theory of baseball, our good friend Justin Stone over at with Elite Baseball out of Chicago, and, of course, my good friend Rick Strickland. Stay tuned, and we'll see you guys on the other side of the break.
Attention coaches, parents, and student athletes. Here at Youth Baseball Talk, one of the most common emails we receive from mom and dad are about the college recruitment and selection process. Far too often, these emails do not have happy endings. Let me tell you about our friend Mark Lineweaver in Perfect Placement. Perfect Placement identifies and helps you with important decision-making factors which are way too often overlooked in the college recruitment process, such as, is it the right student body size for you? Is it a comfortable proximity from your home? Do they offer your desired field of study? How about extracurricular activities that interest you? And of course, the proper level of competition for your skill set. Once they've identified these factors, they will contact those colleges and speak directly to the coaching staff in an effort to help you. To learn more about Perfect Placement, simply check out their website, perfectplacement.com. That's placement with a Y. To contact them, you can email them at info@perfectplacement.com. Remember, that's placement with a Y. Call 310-921-8669 for more information. That's 310-921-8669. Perfect Placement, specializing in assisting your student athlete.
Hello, everybody. Thanks for sticking with us. Welcome back to Youth Baseball Talk, brought to you by The Rope Trainer. Everyone should have one, from big leaguers to little leaguers. That's what John Smoltz always says, and I think I'm going to listen to the Hall of Famer. Each and every week, we bring you a little bit of the lighter side of baseball when we bring you Domingo Ayala. What I find interesting about some of Domingo's takes is you can tell that the big guy has got some underlying things that he's trying to let us know with his own brand of humor that maybe we ought to look at ourselves a little bit. Maybe the players ought to look at themselves a little bit. But I love him. I know you guys love him as well. His YouTube stuff is amazing. And we're very fortunate each and every week to bring you Domingo Ayala and Hysteria Baseball. And, of course, that is brought to you each and every week by our friends at the Pitch Hitter. Make sure you go to thepitchhitter.com. Don't be semi-pro. Be big time and get yourself a Pitch Hitter. I think if you go to thepitchhitter.com, you're going to see what I'm talking about. My example I always use is the parents and the coaches that are just yelling at these kids to throw strikes. They are trying to throw strikes, okay? They just need more practice throwing to hitters, okay? Check out thepitchhitter.com today. It's the perfect device for your backyard, your front yard, your garage, your basement, or handling out the practice. No problem. Folds right up, easy to use. Your little guy will throw more strikes tomorrow, I guarantee it. Make sure you check them out, thepitchhitter.com. Domingo, what do you got for us this week?
Hi, Jim. How you doing? It's good to be on the show again. Thanks to the Pitch Hitter for making this happen. I see a kid the other day strike out in a game, and the coach go to him and say, "Hey, you have to put the ball in play." Then I say to myself, "What do you think the kid's trying to do? Strike out on purpose?" That's when I discover Mr. Coach Obvious. You see, Jim, Mr. Coach Obvious is the coach that tell everyone what they already know. You pop up a couple of times and Mr. Coach Obvious say, "Don't pop up no more." You make an error and Mr. Coach Obvious yell, "Hey, catch a ball." You walk a guy and Mr. Coach Obvious yell, "Hey, throw a strike." Come on, Mr. Coach. Why don't you tell me something I can use one time? Don't just yell just to yell. No kid gonna strike out or make a mistake on purpose, even though sometimes it might seem like it. So if you're gonna say something, make it something a kid can understand. Unless you wanna be known as Mr. Coach Obvious. That's what I got for today. Thanks for having me on the show. And thanks to the Pitch Hitter. If you want your kid to throw strike, don't be Mr. Coach Obvious. Just get them the Pitch Hitter.
Thank you, Domingo, and thank you to the Pitch Hitter. That's thepitchhitter.com. Don't be big time. Be better than semi-pro. Hey, I think when you're blessed to be a part of something really great, a lot of times your support group and who you have working for you and who you have around you has a lot to do with that, right? Well, our friend Justin Stone with Elite Baseball out of Chicago is very blessed to have a great guy that works with him. You know, I know he focuses on pitching, but he's also just a great instructor and he understands the game. You know, he understands the body and how it works and can always help you with functional movements and things like that. Justin Stone has a great asset in his Elite Baseball training, and his name is Travis Kerber. And Travis is stepping in for Justin this week with our Coach's Corner, EliteBaseball.tv. Travis, take it away.
This is Travis Kerber, head instructor for Elite Baseball Training, and this is today's tip of the day. When working with throwers, one thing that I like to do is I like to have throwers understand how to use more intent so that they can continue to build up the speed at which their body moves when they throw the ball. One thing I do for that is I work on having them create better action from backside to frontside with their torso or accelerating their torso over their front leg. So what I like to do is I like to use a rocker drill. In our rock drill, basically we start with our feet apart. They're going to be slightly outside of shoulder width. It's going to give you a good base to be able to go into our movement. We're going to give ourselves a slight lean forward over our front side. We're then going to go negative or bring our torso back over our back leg as quickly as we can, loading into our backside. And once we get to the back end of that rock, we're immediately going to fire back forward, trying to get our torso to accelerate back over our front leg. So to do this drill correctly, a couple things that you're going to need to take note of. When we do accelerate our body backwards over our back leg to get ready to go into our rocker drill, it's important that we're keeping our shoulders into the backside of our body, which means your shoulders will angle upwards as you lean back into your throw. You want to be able to get down into the strongest loaded position backwards as you can before you accelerate forward. To do that, you need to make sure that you are being able to start to load into your back leg and back hip so that you do not lose balance and you're able to come back out of that movement going back into your throw forward. once you're in that position, it's now time to accelerate going forward. When we're accelerating going forward, we want to make sure that we are following the rules of correct patterning in our arm to make sure that the timing of our arm action and the pattern of our arm action matches the time frame we have to throw. In this situation, because it's a very quick movement, we're going to have to adhere to a shorter arm path to match up with the timing of us having less time to get from back to front as we accelerate through our throw. Once we do begin to accelerate forward, the lead side needs to pull back. So the front leg needs to pull back to allow the hips to be able to turn and for the upper body to be able to get over the front side or accelerate over the front side. As you do that, you want to make sure that you're being able to pull yourself all the way through your backside. So the torso goes past the front leg, picking the hip up and the back leg over through the finish. Once we've completed these throws, we then move into a step back rocker. So then we go into the same starting position. We give ourselves a little bit of lean forward for momentum. We step backwards with our back foot as we rock back. And then we lean back over the front side, again, accelerating over, pulling ourselves over the front foot, not getting stuck behind the front leg. The third version we use after we've gotten through the first two is that we go into our positive move forward, so our slight lean forward to create momentum. Then we add a step back as we rock back with our torso, and then we add a step forward as we go into our torso acceleration going forward. So this starts to simulate more of an actual throw as we go through it. I suggest you try this with your kids today. It's a great way to learn how to use intent. It's a great way to be able to learn how to load and unload your body correctly. And it's a great way for you to be able to continue to learn how to accelerate your torso faster around a firm front side. Thank you for listening. That was today's tip of the day.
Great stuff, Travis. Look forward to catching up with you this winter. I know I'm going to be up in Chicago two or three times, and my boy's looking forward to coming up and working with you guys. It's always a great time. So thanks a lot to Justin Stone, and make sure you check out elitebaseball.tv, some of the best instruction you're going to get, whether you're a coach, parent, or player. Time to go over to my friend Rick Strickland. It's that time of year. My younger son is coming off his first high school soccer season, and what it means for him now is it's time to start getting the body stronger and working out and doing some things. So he's kind of excited about it. I think people hear that we're heading over to the Pirates and it's time for baseball, and people think, oh my God, you're going to start playing. But no, we're not playing baseball. What we're doing is we're getting better. We're working out. We're working on things that will enhance us. We're working on all the things that you do and all the things that he wants to do. So I am absolutely excited about the beginning of this journey with my younger son. So let's hear from Rick Strickland and his Blast Motion Tip of the Week. Rick, take it away.
Hey, Jim. Rick Strickland again. Thanks for having me back on the show and this week. And for the second straight week, I am going to have a guest of mine, a new coach that we brought on staff, Matt Borsholte, formerly of CMO. He was a recruiting coordinator and hitting coach down there. We're doing some interesting things when it comes to pitch recognition. I'm going to let Matt talk a little bit about it briefly.
So we had a pitch recognition program that we developed with Dr. Peter Fatty at CMO, really advanced our offensive approach and allowed us to have one of the most successful offenses in college baseball for the past three seasons, led us to a regional appearance this past season. Basically, what we're doing is we're training the first 20 feet of ball flight. So the first 20 feet out of the pitcher's hand has been proven and researched by Dr. Fatty to find out that it's the most crucial part of the pitch process in making your decision. All of our drills and our training will be based on this first 20 feet of ball flight, and also include some video occlusion drills where the video of a pitcher will cut to black, and we'll be able to have players train making their decision early. That way they have more time in order to see the ball and hit the ball. And, you know, the combination with being able to swing the bat efficiently, being taught by Rick, and being able to recognize pitches better, I think will certainly advance this program to the next level.
Thanks, Matt. We're going to be doing pitch recognition swing rehab classes, which is swing rehab is the basics of my hitting program together. But also we'll have just basic pitch recognition classes. And for those who are interested, definitely go out to Sandlot Elite. com and hit the contact button and reach out if you have some interest in it. But we really think that this program is going to be very, very, very successful and definitely more beneficial than just going to the batting cage and taking some swings. Just taking that cognitive training approach to the next level, Jim. Really excited about it. If you have any, if you're interested, give me a call at 314-775 or, again, go out to Sandlot Elite. This is the Swing Rehab Pitch Recognition Program. Looking forward to hearing from you guys soon about the program. Jim, look, thank you again for having me again on this week. Look forward to speaking to you next week. Thank you.
Great stuff from my man Rick and the guys over at Blast Motion and, of course, St. Louis Pirates Nation. I know my son is proud to be a part of it. And I say my son rather than myself because ultimately at the end of the day, he's the one that's involved. He's the one that's got to commit. He's the one that's got to go to practice. He's the one that's got to do all this. As I mentioned earlier, I'm just helping him get there, right? And I'm going to try to enjoy it. You know, like I said, I put my time in coaching, and I know I miss it some. I haven't missed some of the stuff, but when I go to some of these, some of the fall stuff, and I'd see guys hitting fungos and working with infielders, I miss it quite a bit. But that's the only thing I miss. I'm here to tell you all the behind the scenes stuff. It's kind of a nice, relaxing thing to know that I don't have to deal with that for now. So that's why I appreciate guys that do this, and I always want to be appreciative of that. Thanks to all of our guests. Thanks to all of our sponsors. Again, don't forget to check out thepitchhitter.com. They bring you Domingo each and every week. We want to thank all the people over at Ripken Baseball, ripkenbaseball.com. Make sure you check them out for your week-long or your weekend tournaments. Now they have their third location, Pigeon Forge, Tennessee. And of course, Youth Baseball Talk is brought to you each and every week, okay, by the Rope Trainer, theropetrainer.com, endorsed by Hall of Famer John Smoltz. Everyone should have one, from big leaguers to little leaguers. Make sure you check it out today. You're going to see it in bullpens all over the country. You're already seeing it in the bullpens in the major leagues. It's definitely a necessity to save those bullets and save that arm. For today's show, again, I can't tell you enough how much I appreciate you letting me come on here occasionally like I did today and just kind of make sure that people know where I'm coming from, make sure people know where we're trying to go, and provide a little bit of insight into why it is we do what we do here. So, of course, an episode like this will always come back with questions. I encourage them. info@youthbaseballtalk.com is the best way to reach me. Make sure you check out youthbaseballtalk.com. That is our website. Again, if you follow me on Twitter, @podcastbaseball, you know that this is the type of stuff that interests me the most. And facebook.com/youthbaseballtalk is the greatest way to communicate even bigger things to me. Thank you to the Lineup Media Group, lineupmedia.fm. It's very humbling to be a part of the fastest-growing podcast company on the planet. Some of the greatest shows that you're going to find that's worth your entertainment time are found right there at lineupmedia.fm. Make sure you check them out. And I have a great producer. Producer Brian keeps me on schedule, puts this stuff together when I get to rambling and with all the segments and all the sponsors. He does a phenomenal job. I couldn't be luckier. So for all of us here at Youth Baseball Talk, I want to let everybody know, have a great weekend. We will see you next week. Take care.
Tune in next week for another edition of Youth Baseball Talk. Subscribe and leave a rating and review on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to the show. Find us online at youthbaseballtalk.com, facebook.com/youthbaseballtalk, or on Twitter @podcastbaseball. Plus, check out all of our podcasts at lineupmedia.fm.
This podcast was a presentation of lineupmedia.fm.